Thank you. it's finally time to start. I would like to begin this morning by reading Psalm 98. Sing Yahweh a new song, for he has performed marvels. His own right hand, his holy arm, gives him the power to save. Yahweh has displayed his power, has revealed his righteousness to the nations, mindful of his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. The most distant parts of the earth have seen the saving power of our God. Acclaim Yahweh, all the earth. Burst into shouts of joy. Sing to Yahweh. Sing to the music of harps. And I would add here guitars. And to the sound of many instruments, to the sound of trumpet and horn. Acclaim Yahweh the King. Let the sea thunder and all that it holds, and the world with all who live in it. Let all the rivers clap their hands, and the mountains shout for joy. At the presence of Yahweh, for he comes to judge the earth, to judge the world with righteousness and the nations with strict justice. I read that psalm for kind of a rationale for doing this Vespers, I should say, eye-opener. One of the things that it talks about in the psalm is praising God with instruments. And it seems like as long as I play the guitar in the church, I've had little wars with, you know, is it a valid instrument? Is it, you know, this and that? But this morning I'd like to do something with the guitar and with scripture and with bread, something that you're all familiar with, and something that being at Holden here you eat every day, and it's something you'll probably miss when you leave Holden, because at Holden you get fresh bread every day. You know, it's baked. Maybe it's a day old at the most, but it's fresh, and it's something that I really appreciate here at Holden. Also, I'd like to use bread, take the symbol of bread, which is used quite a bit in Scripture, and is something that we actually partake in every Sunday night here at Holden. It's used as a tremendous symbol of what Psalm 98 talks about, how great our God is, and how much strength, love, and forgiveness he has for us. And how that just that simple slice of bread or loaf of bread is a symbol of his greatness. Nothing more than a slice of bread or a piece of bread is a symbol for his greatness. And I'm going to have Paul Hansen help me out here in some of the readings from Matthew, where it talks about bread and where Christ deals with bread. And most of the time he always says, you know, I'm not talking about bread, or I'm not talking about the simple needs that you have. I will take care of all those needs. I'm talking about you turning to me, you trusting in me, you looking to me for being the provider of all your needs. And I brought with me to Holden a little film that a friend of mine has done, and it's called Thanksgiving, and he asked me to do the music for it. And it's been traveling around all over the country in some of these crazy experimental film contests, you know. So it has nothing to do with any religious significance except for this morning. I hope you can kind of get something out of the film as I show it, especially the second time, because I'll be showing it at the beginning of this talk and at the end of it. So, Dick, you want to roll that film?
In the film, we see a man come out of a house carrying a bench and several loaves of bread. He takes the sliced bread out of the wrappers and piles them up on the bench. Then he takes them a slice at a time and with clothespins strings them up on a clothesline, which moves uphill on pulleys. We see them all lined up, although one of them falls to the ground. Later, dressed differently, the man comes out of the house again, feels a slice or two, as if to test whether they're dry enough to remove from the line. Satisfied, he takes them down one at a time, and puts them into a large grocery bag and carries them back into the house.
I asked Paul to help me out, and he said, I never get anything out of these experimental films. So it's maybe hard to get the point, or any point out of it, but I think it kind of really shows, as any artistic image does, something more vividly than what you saw it before. So I hope you can enjoy it more the second time around. The temptation of Christ, and I thought very appropriate for the temptation of Christ would be a little piece that I know called the St. Louis Tickle.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, after which he was very hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into loaves." But he replied, "Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
In this scripture, Jesus emphasizes that it's not the bread that's important. You know, he's starving, and the devil says, "Turn these stones to loaves of bread." And Jesus says, "No, that's not the real message here. It's my word that's important, and I don't need that." The second scripture reading is one that's very favorite of mine for comforting people who have worries. And it's in Matthew also. And it talks about God caring for the flowers and for things of nature. If he cares for those things, why doesn't he just care for you? And God the provider is very strong in this reading. I've decided to put two little pieces into this. The first one is, "'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free," and Ragtime Ramble.
No one can fully serve two masters. He is bound to hate one and love the other, be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and the power of money. That is why I say to you, don't worry about living, wondering what you're going to eat or drink, or what you're going to wear. Surely life is more important than food, the body more important than the clothes you wear. Look at the birds in the sky. They never sow, nor reap, nor store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable to him than they are? Can any of you, however much he worries, make himself even a few inches taller? Why do you worry about clothes? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They neither work nor weave. But I tell you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the flowers of the field, which are alive today and burnt in the stove tomorrow, is he not much more likely to clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry and keep saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? That is what the pagans are always looking for. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Set your heart first on his kingdom and his goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. Don't worry at all then about tomorrow. Tomorrow can worry about itself. One day's trouble is enough for one day.
Third reading is Christ feeding the 5,000 people, and I thought a very appropriate piece for this scripture reading would be a piece called Death Come Creeping.
But Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel sorry for all these people. They've been with me for 3 days now and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them off hungry. They might collapse on the way. The disciple said to him, where could we get enough bread in this deserted place to feed such a crowd? Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you? Seven, they said, and a few small fish. Then he instructed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and fish, and he gave thanks and broke them, handed them to the disciples, who gave them to the crowds. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they collected what was left of the scraps, seven baskets full. Now, 4,000 men had eaten, to say nothing of women and children. And when he had sent the crowds away, he got into the boat and went to the district of Magadan. The disciples, having crossed to the other shore, had forgotten to take any food. Jesus said to them, keep your eyes open and be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they said to themselves, it is because we have not brought any bread. Jesus knew it, and he said, men of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you not yet understand? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and the number of baskets you collected? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and the number of baskets you collected? How could you fail to understand that I was not talking about bread? What I said was, beware the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood what he was telling them, to be on their guard, not against the yeast for making bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
The last reading is the most significant reading. Talks about Jesus giving the words of institution and saying, take, this is my body, eat it, this is my blood. And I'd like to do an introduction to a song as Paul reads this final reading and go into a song that's called Christ's Song, and it talks a little bit about that bread that we partake in.
Now as they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and when he had said the blessing, he broke it, gave it to the disciples. "Take it and eat," he said. "This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had returned thanks, he gave it to them. "Drink, all of you, from this," he said. "For this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is to be poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. From now on, I tell you, I shall not drink wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in the kingdom of my Father."
Take my hand, little man, I have a gift for you. Yes, I know it's so far to go, for I've been in your shoes too. I've held the world upon my shoulders. I've felt the grass between my feet. The rich young man growing cold inside. He turned and left me in the street. He turned and left me in the street. Take my hand and we'll walk this land. I have some bread for you. 'Twill make you smile. We can laugh a while. Just think what's in store for you. I've held the world upon my shoulders. I felt the grass between my feet. The rich young man growing cold inside. He turned and left me in the street. He turned and left me in the street. I'd like to show the film one more time, and I hope that you can kind of get some symbols. I have a few ideas here myself. One of the things is watch the person in the film, the man with the bread. What does he feel doing this whole thing, you know? And how do we feel when we partake in the Lord's Supper, when we eat that fresh bread in the dining hall with smiling faces across the table. There's kind of a constant reminder in that bread that God is with us. And I think you can kind of see that in the film too if you look for it. Also, he hangs the bread out. And that beautiful shot with the mountain in the background, that's Icicle Ridge, by the way, in Leavenworth where I live, so if you're wondering. But you can kind of see the renewing of the bread. There's something about the freshness of the fresh air or clothes being outside on the line. After they're dried, you can wear them again. It's kind of the same with God's forgiveness and constant love each day. So I think you can kind of see those things. And one particular thing I noticed just looking at it this morning was he walked over and he felt the bread, you know. And kind of a, just like, don't squeeze the Charmin kind of thing. But you might get your own images, and you might also want to think about the scripture that you heard this morning with the music, and might find something from that to put into the film also.